From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we continue the conversation from an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank Hanegraaff's eldest son, David, is interviewing his father. Let's now join Hank and David Hanegraaff in their conversation.
Vladimir Lasky said, following the fall, the history of humanity is a history of shipwreck awaiting rescue. And then he says, but the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the rescued to continue on a journey whose sole goal is union with God, being brought into the fellowship of the Holy Trinity, as Donald Fairbairn put it. So the idea here is that we can presently partake of life. We are on a process towards union with God, or deification, theosis. And in my book, I have an acronym, surprise, surprise. It's not gratuitous, but it explains theosis using each letter of the word. It explains what theosis is and the power that we can experience as we experience the presence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the larger arch is from creation to deification. And the beauty of that is that arch does not end in this life, although we can now live life that is life to the full. But that arch ends up in eternity, where we will learn and grow and develop, albeit without error, as we do now. We make mistakes. As forever we explore the glory and the grandeur of the one who created us for fellowship with him. So in the Eastern Church, the idea of salvation transcends a transaction. It points to a transformation, and that transformation, again, goes from glory to glory.
Yeah, you wrote, salvation is more than justification. It is nothing short of deification.
Yeah.
It's nothing short of union with God.
And as Scott Hahn, the Catholic theologian, put it, we're not created for salvation alone. We're created for sonship, to become legitimate children of God.
Yeah, I actually have one of his endorsements right here for your new book that I want to ask you about, but I'll read it. Scott Hahn wrote, "The truth here is that salvation is so much greater than most people allow themselves to believe. We have been saved not only from sin, but for divine life. God has shared his inner life with us and made us partakers of his divine nature. This book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, tells how the Bible Answer Man arrived at the Bible's most important answer." I love that endorsement, and I love your book. I told you, most of the time when I read through your books, I know you intimately, so I kind of know what the book is going to say, and this is definitely my favorite book that you've written, because you surprise me here and there. And one of the places that you surprise me is that typically you're writing about truth, and so there's a sense of distance on your part. And this book is, without a doubt, the most profoundly personal book that you've written. Why did you feel free to kind of let the reader in on your life, or why did you feel it necessary?
That's interesting, David. As you know, I'm pretty insular. I oftentimes describe myself as the last person that wants to go to a party or a gathering. But once I'm there, I probably enjoy it as much or more than anybody there. For most of my career, I've been very, very insular. I love people. When I get done speaking, I love to hug people, shake their hands. I love interacting with people. But it's always hard to get me there. Whether it's a speaking engagement or whatever it might be, I would rather be our thinking and pondering be with you and the rest of the family than I would be out in public. But I felt after this many years in public ministry that I should, in this book, reveal some of my own life, what led me to this point. Frederica Matthews Green, who is a very popular Orthodox writer, talked about the fact when we were at dinner, I think you were there, Kathy was there, some of her other kids were there, she was staying at our house. She says, very unusual for someone to make a transition in their 60s, and I'm now 69. But the reason I was able to make a transition, and that's why I wanted to be personal in this book, is because I wanted to follow truth wherever it leads. And if that means the end of my ministry, if that creates financial problems, I mean, this, after all, is the Lord's ministry. It's not my ministry to begin with. And I've found out over and over again, when God closes one door, he opens another. So I don't think so much about the consequences of a decision, although I had a sense that the moment I was chrismated in an Orthodox church, there would be significant fallout. And of course, the fallout was far more significant than I ever imagined. But it doesn't matter, because if we're doing what we're doing for the eyes of God and not for the commendation of human beings, then none of that matters. If we really believe that God is in charge, and this is not a function of following formulas. I mean, there are formulas now in churches where you can get people into seats if you follow the formula. And a lot of churches follow the formula to a T, and they become robust, at least robust in terms of the numbers of people they put into chairs in the auditorium. But that can lead to a personality cult, where the personality becomes preeminent. And at 69, as I just mentioned, having just slipped out of the conscious state into the unconscious state on June 25th, in fact, having the experience even before that of having an emergency appendectomy, February 4, of this year, and coming very close to dying in that process, saved by a miracle, which is another story in itself. I think I've shared that in one of the videos. But having come so close to death, the only thing that ultimately matters is doing whatever you do to please the Lord and to leave the rest in his hands. Elijah, referenced earlier, oftentimes tells me, you know, you are still holding on to the bricks. So the idea is that there's a big long line and you're passing the bricks on to a wall that's being built. And the person next to you passes you a brick and you pass it on. But what happens if you hang on to the brick? Then the person next to you hands you a brick and now you got two bricks. And if you keep hanging on, you got three bricks. And after a while, you're overwhelmed by the bricks. You have to pass it on. And what that means is, in terms of the analogy, is you give it to the Lord and you leave it there. So I'm probably far afield from where you're going with your questions, but I think it's important to follow truth wherever it leads. And in this case, following truth wherever it leads led me into life. And that life is transcendently important. In writing the book and becoming transparent, as you asked about, vulnerable, I had a real hard time knowing what to do. I started that book at least five different ways before I had to scrap what I was doing and start over again. Because I wasn't comfortable with just tipping my hat to truth, meaning you know, 30, 40 years of my life focused on truth, started examining truth, led to my conversion in 1979, and then following truth wherever it leads, and then just tip my hat to truth and go on to life. I felt it was really important to set the foundation by talking about truth. We live in a post-truth culture. It is transcendently important that we are able to communicate truth, that what we follow is not an odd predilection, but we are following that which corresponds to reality. And in that vein, giving answers is critical. If you don't know the answer, finding that answer, being educated through the process is critical. Particularly when you have people who are writing, teaching their students, teaching their devotees that there is no such thing as ultimate truth. That the physical facts fix all the facts.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with his son, David Hanegraaff. In Truth Matters, Life Matters More, Hank explains what it means to participate in the divine nature, to move beyond the notion of God as an abstract idea, and to know God in Jesus Christ as a personal transformational presence. Receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More when you call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank Hanegraaff's most personal book ever, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, is a vulnerable voyage detailing Hank's pilgrimage from a life devoted to a defense of truth because truth matters to his discovery that life matters more. Are you ready to discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life? To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank and his son, David Hanegraaff, in their conversation.
For as long as I can remember, the maxim that you lived by and that you based your ministry on was in essentials unity, in non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. And you ended your book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, with a chapter on fusion and the imperative for Christian unity. Is that possible? And why should we believe that it's possible?
Well, we go back to the Lord's high priestly prayer, where the Lord wants us to be one, even as He and the Father are one. And actually, the moniker as part of that verse is, so that the world would believe that you sent me. Well, fusion is very, very difficult. Fission is relatively easy. If you put it into the orbit of what we experience in the material world, you can take a uranium-235 atom and split it. It creates fission, and out of that fission comes a tremendous amount of energy. But attendant to that energy is toxic waste. So fission can produce energy, but it has a bad byproduct. To further the analogy, fusion is the uniting of hydrogen atoms, such as we have in the core of stars like the sun. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. It's difficult. Jesus' high priestly prayer was not saying it's easy. It's difficult. But the beauty is when you combine hydrogen atoms, the byproduct is not toxic. It's helium. So in the physical world, if we were able to harness fusion, we would have clean, unlimited energy for everyone forever. And people like Bill Gates are betting billions that that's going to happen in the future. We wouldn't be talking about carbon deposits. We'd be talking about free energy. So by way of analogy, this is precisely what is to happen within the body of Christ. Now, can that happen? Will that happen? I'm not the one to answer that question. Nor am I the one to question the Lord of glory who prayed to the Father that this would happen. My job is simply to obey. I am a tiny speck of dust. I am not at liberty to question Jesus Christ in that earnest prayer in John chapter 17. I am to obey. I'm to work towards fusion. Now, again, as you mentioned in the prologue to the question, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, all things charity. Now, what that means is we cannot have fusion devoid of the essentials of the historic Christian faith, the seven ecumenical councils, the tradition of Christianity, not traditionalism again, tradition. That fusion can never, ever be, well, let's have fusion with the Mormons. Let's have fusion with the Muslims. Let's have fusion with Hare Krishna. No, because they have deviated from the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. So, fusion never comes at the expense of the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Let's all sing Kumbaya and believe whatever we want to believe. Let's say Christ is just a man. He is a man in whom the Spirit of God dwelt as if in a temple. Now, Jesus, according to the scriptures, according to the creeds, was one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. You can't get rid of the mother of all questions, the question that Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? And the correct answer being, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can't get rid of essential Christian doctrine. That, again, is axiomatic to the Christian faith. But there are many secondary issues that we can debate vigorously, we don't have to divide over. And in my book, I point out what I believe to this very day. God has his people everywhere. I would never have, or I would likely never have come to an understanding of proper human anthropology, that big arch from creation to deification, if it were not for a group of people in the recovery, known as the Lord's Recovery, known as the local churches. I would never have come to this unless I had been willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost. Because we thought at one point that they were cultic because they believed in this concept of deification. And we misunderstood what they were saying. They weren't saying we can become as God is in the Godhead. But in doing the research, I encountered them and found these Christians to be some of the best exemplars of what it means to be a true Christian. Humble Christians, devoted to the Great Commission. So they dramatically impacted my life. But I go back further. I think about my own conversion experience took place in a PCA church. I was deeply impacted by, let's say, a theologian like R.C. Sproul, who became a dear friend of mine, played a lot of golf together. I was deeply impacted by Dr. Paul Walker. Well, this was the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, a charismatic denomination. He was the absolute real deal. I've been deeply impacted by so many people in so many traditions. I think of Bob and Gretchen Pasantinos. They were titans in the field of Christian apologetics. I learned so much, particularly from Gretchen Pasantino. Well, she's Lutheran. She's absent from the body, present with the Lord, as is Bob. But they were staunch Lutherans. Absolutely the real deal. I think of my mother and my father. You mentioned how in many ways I was turned off to hard determinism early in my life. And it was one of the reasons I walked away from the faith before I realized that hard determinism is part of the atheistic worldview as well. You know, if you're an atheist, everything is determined by brain chemistry and genetics. You'd have no free will. But my parents set the template for me. I didn't suddenly become converted, but when I did commit my life to Christ, it was the pattern set for me when I was a young child that became so critical. I used to chafe at the discipline of my father. And yet the discipline that my father passed on to me has become a template for my life. Now, the reason I mention this is these are people that I admire deeply, and I know my father and my mother even now are in the presence of the Lord, absent the body, present the Lord. So I know God has his people everywhere. So I'm not looking for uniformity. I'm looking for unity. And that unity comes from listening to other people. It comes from considering what other people are saying. It's so easy to brand someone. It's far more difficult to listen to them. And in doing that, I started my trek to the point that I am right now. But all of our lives are a continuum. We keep growing and learning and developing. That's the way it ought to be. And I can tell you, quite frankly, and I say this not to flatter you, but I've learned a lot from you, from your own experiences in university. I remember when we got into quite a row over politics.
One?
We got into a few. And yet, by listening and loving one another, I was greatly enriched.
Thank you for listening to the special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with David Hanegraaff in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
In the new book, The Cross Before Me, Pastor Rankin Wilborn and philosopher Brian Greger offer a provocative perspective on why the cross is not just the way to salvation, but the way to the abundant life. Drawing on biblical truth and historical writings, they ask, why do we still feel restless when things seem to be going our way? How can suffering bring more peace than success brings? And what does Jesus' cross teach us about how to live a full and flourishing life? This unique book helps us reimagine the good life as we learn to delight in surrendering our own power and embracing the life-giving weakness of the cross. Be sure to read The Cross Before Me. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.